this. What does it mean to go all in? That's what we've been talking about, is going all in, man. To go all in. Go ahead and put the definition up there. To go all in means to be fully committed or involved in something. Probably the most famous way that that term is used is in poker, when we say we're going to go all in. And you bet everything you've got on one hand, you're going all in. You're putting everything that you have in that one hand. You don't have to be a gambler to know that. If you've got ESPN2, then you know all about it. It means to go all in. It means that we've made an internal decision that we're going to put everything that we have into one opportunity, into one situation. We're going to put everything that we have, an internal decision to do that. And what then does it mean to go all out? As I was preparing my message this week, it's called all out. And all out is not the opposite of all in. Actually, it's the manifestation of all in. To go all out means it's made with maximum effort, an all out effort to win the contest. To be specific, like how the Hart County Middle School Raiders went all out yesterday to win the very first state playoff game in the history of our county's football program. Can you just give those kids some applause, man? Come on. That's a shameless plug for my kids' football team that I coach. Come on. Those kids went all out. They tried as best as they could to lose. Brent was there commentating. We had a muffed punt return for a touchdown. We had a kickoff return for a touchdown. We fumbled the ball three times, and we won 28-12. Because those kids went all out. They never lowered their head. Because, see, they're all in. See, they've bought into what we've been telling them all season long. That if they would do what we've told them to do, that if they would put in the work, that they would go all in, if they would commit themselves to it, then when the time came, they'd be able to go all out and pour it all out in the field. And when they did, they'd have success. They bought in. I'm asking you guys to go all in for the living God. I'm asking you to make a decision in your heart to go all in. I'm asking you to decide today what you're going to do. If you're going to go all in so that God can go all out for you. That's what I want to know. And I'm just going to be blunt and plainly honest. No, it's not the same order that I did it in first service, but this is what's on my heart. And this is why I'm here today to challenge us on. I want to know if you're going to go all in. If you're going to go all in for the world, then go all in for the world. Stop being wishy-washy. Man, stop being lukewarm. Stop trying to ride the fence, man. If you're going to go all in for the world, go all in for the world, go. And then when you get broken enough, you'll come back to the Lord. But if you're going to go all in for the Lord today, man, go all in for the Lord, man. If He is God, if He is God, if He is the God that we claim that He is, that we raise our hands to in worship, if He's the God that we pray to, then go all in and see what happens. Man, put your faith in the Lord and see what happens. Go all in for God. Would you guys just stand with me for the reading of God's words this morning? I'm in the book of James in chapter 5. And the Bible says this in James chapter 5. It says this in verse 17. It says, Elijah was a human being as we are. Do you believe that? It's hard for me to believe that. And I'll let you sit down in just a minute, but Elijah raised the dead. Elijah called down fire from heaven. Elijah prayed that the clouds would stop raining for 3 years, and it stopped. And then when he said, let it rain again, it poured. And you're telling me that Elijah was a human being just like me and you? That's what the Word of God says. If you believe it, then it's true. If you believe that that Word is true, it's what it says. That he's a human being just like me and you. But I got to be honest, I didn't believe it. I didn't. I thought that he was some kind of special, anointed, set-apart person and was not a normal human being like us that just went all in. I didn't believe that. I didn't. I didn't believe that a normal human being could do things like that by the power of God. And then one day, I had to preach a funeral right here on this stage. for a little boy who was like 2 years old or 18 months or something. And not only that, but at the same time, I was dealing with an injury. I had a spinal cord injury. I couldn't even move my left hand. I had no power. I couldn't even pick up my cell phone with my left hand. I was injured. Like, I had a spinal cord injury. The doctors told me that there was no more weightlifting for me, no more powerlifting contests, none of that stuff, that I was done with all that. That the only thing that I could ever do as far as exercise would be cardio, which I thought was a terrible curse to speak over somebody. But that's what they told me. And then that day, right before I preached a funeral out here, I had some people that went in there and prayed for me. And I don't care if you believe me or not. I don't care. I'm testifying to you here today that I was healed instantly. Yeah, you can give God praise for that. I promise. I testify to you here today. You can call me crazy and don't believe me if you don't want to. I don't care. It's what happened. Like, I was healed instantly. All the strength returned to the left side of my body. And all of a sudden, I had just as much strength in this hand as I did in this one. I was healed instantly. Instantly. I mean, God brought back every bit of the strength that was taken away from me. I proved it, man, that what God did. I went and competed in a powerlifting competition and won my weight class. After that, because God healed me instantly through normal, regular people. Just through normal people. Because they went all in. Because like the song that we started the service with said, you'll see it when you believe it. And that moment in my life made me a believer. I believed in God before, and I believed in His healing, just not for me. And not through me. But now I believe. And can't nobody tell me different because I've experienced it. When you experience God, can't nobody tell you different. I want all of you to encounter God. I want you to go all in so He can go all out in your life. Let me read the rest of the scripture so y'all can sit down. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. You see how this works? We go all in for God. He goes all out for us. We go all in for God, man. He goes all out for us. We put everything that we have into His basket, and we bet on Him, and we give Him our whole life, and the power of the Holy Spirit shows up in our life and shows off in a way that we couldn't even imagine before. So right now, I'm asking that we all pray earnestly. Can we do that? Let's just pray earnestly. Go with me to the Lord in prayer. God, today we pray earnestly. We pray in truth, and we pray in real faith. In real faith, God, believing what we do not see yet, believing what's been promised in spite of what the world throws our way, God. And Lord, today we pray that Your glory be revealed to us, God. Lord, we pray that You would pour everything out of us that doesn't belong, God. All the iniquity, all the shame, all the guilt, all the addictions, all the pain, all the torment, all the bitterness, all the rage, all the anger, all the self-doubt, all everything that's not of You. We pray You would break us open and pour it out at the altar of grace so that You can fill us back up with the power of Your Holy Spirit, with Your love, with Your grace, with Your glory, with everything that You have, God. We love You. We praise You. We surrender to You today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Man, let's give Him praise, and you guys can be seated. So I'm gonna do this, just try to do this like I did before, man. Whatever God wants. Let me set the tone for you. So in Israel at the time, yes, thank you. We're timing me today to see if I can preach a message in a concise format. So I'm just going to wait a while. Israel had strayed away from God. I mean, way away from God. I mean, they had gone as far away from God as you could get. This story that I'm going to talk to you about today, it's in 1 Kings 18. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to challenge you to read it. Every Christian should know this story. I'm just going to challenge you to go home today and read 1 Kings 18 in the Old Testament. Read it and know it. Read it. But it's about 100 years after David was king of Israel. It's about 100 years later. Dude named Ahab is king of Israel. His wife's name is Jezebel. You've probably heard of her. Well, Ahab was worse than her. And he's the king. And everything in Israel has just gone to garbage. They worship idols. They sacrifice babies. They do all kinds of just, they're all into like ritual sexual practices and just all kinds of ugliness going on in Israel. They've done everything they can to stray away from God. And so the Spirit of the Lord came to the prophet Elijah and told him to pray that there would be a drought, that the rain would stop. And so he did, and the rain stopped. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. There was a drought. It was dry. You know how the grass has been crunchy here this summer? Way worse than that. 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Can you imagine what it would look like here if it didn't rain for 3.5 years? And Israel's about half desert anyway. But parts of it kind of look a lot like Kentucky does in parts. But can you imagine what it would look like if it didn't rain for 3.5 years? Everything was dry. What do you think their most precious resource was? Water. Gone. Then one day Elijah shows back up, has a really cool interaction with one of the other prophets, but I'll save that for another time. But he tells King Ahab, he says, I want you to bring all your prophets of Baal, which was this false god that they worshipped, and all your wife's prophets of Asherah, which was this fertility goddess, and I want y'all to meet me at the top of Mount Carmel, and I'll make y'all a deal. We'll have a moment here where we will figure out who is really God. I'll be there, y'all be there. And then I'll make it rain again. And so they show up that day. And Elijah says this to the people. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Just what I said to you guys earlier, man. I want you to make that same decision today. Man, if God is God, follow God. If the world is your God, then go follow the world. I mean, that's it. Stop being wishy-washy, man. There's no room for the fence. There's not, man. The fence belongs to the enemy anyway. So if you're wishy-washy, man, if you're trying to live in two worlds, man, the Bible says nobody can serve two masters. You know what? You can't either. You can't. You can't serve two masters. You'll love one and despise the other. You better choose correctly. But I'm saying if you want to go after the world, man, go after the world. I did. I went after the world with everything that I had. I poured my whole life into going after the world. Man, I tried to satisfy every sin of the flesh that I could imagine satisfying. And I ended up half dead. I ended up in these chains of just sin and darkness that I didn't think that I would ever be able to get rid of. I ended up depressed and distraught and suicidal and all those things. And that's what the world brought to me, and that's what the world will bring to you too. Or if God is God, then choose God. Not just on Sundays. Day and night and night and day. Day and night and night and day. All the time. Choose God in every aspect of your life. Because he's the only thing that won't lead you in the wrong way. He's the only thing that will give you what it has promised to give you. Man, the world makes a lot of promises. A lot of promises. And it comes through on none of them. It may seem like it does for a while. It may seem that way. But it just doesn't. It doesn't. It's all lies. It's all deception, man. It's all facade. And then once it gets you in there, man, you're trapped and you're stuck. And we just don't even know how we got there, do we, Andy? Don't even know how we ended up there. But it sure is hard to fight out of it. But God will do that too. If you'll go all in, I promise you he'll go all out. So he calls the prophets of Baal up there, and he calls all the people of Israel. The King Ahab had all the people of Israel. So like the whole kingdom is around this mountain. Is around this mountain at Mount Carmel. And I tell you what, when I was standing up there physically on Mount Carmel, you can still feel the electricity. I felt the power of God there more than any other place in the whole Holy Land. It was insane. I mean, it was insane just to stand on the top of that mountain. But the people didn't answer him with a word. They didn't say anything. They wouldn't answer. Are you going to go with this false idol, demon god? Or are you going to follow the Lord? And they just sit there like a knot on a log is what my grandma used to say. They just sit there. Didn't say anything. Wouldn't answer him. And he was like, fine. Let's figure this thing out. You build an altar here. I'll build an altar here. You put a sacrifice there. I'll put a sacrifice here. The God that answers with fire is God. Deal? Deal? You going to go all in? One hand. One hand. All in. And they were like, that sounds fine. And so that's what they did. They built two altars. And the prophets of Baal went first. And they placed their bull on the altar, on the wood, on the altar of sacrifice. And they begin to pray and ask Baal to answer them and to answer with fire and to consume the offering. And they prayed and they danced and they chanted from a morning time till about noon. And they danced around and they chanted and they moaned and they cried out to their God to answer them. Please answer us, consume it with fire. Answer us, answer us, answer us. And you know what their God said? The same thing they said when Elijah asked him if they were going to choose God or Baal. Their God said nothing. Nothing. He was silent. And so then in one of the coolest verses and chapter pieces of scripture in the whole Bible, Elijah starts in on them. He says, hey guys, why don't you sing louder, chant louder, pray louder? Maybe he doesn't hear you. Maybe he doesn't hear you. Maybe he's asleep. Chant louder. Chant louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he doesn't hear you. And then one of the funniest verses in all the Bible, and it's not in this translation, but it's in the ESV. You can look it up. It's pretty cool. Elijah says, maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he went on a long trip. You know what Elijah's really saying to him? Go all in. Go all in. If you're going to choose Baal, if you're going to choose this God, man, go all in. If you want him to answer with fire, man, go all in. And they did. Man, the Bible says that they danced around louder. They sang louder. They chanted louder. They prayed louder. They cut themselves with swords and with spears until their blood was pouring out on the ground. And they were dancing, and they were chanting, and they were screaming out to their God. And you know what their God did? Nothing. Nothing. Isn't it interesting how their God asked them to bleed for him and then did nothing, and yet our God offered to bleed for us, and he did everything. Can you say amen? Nothing. These prophets, man, you have to respect them, though, don't you? I mean, they went all in. I mean, you don't have to like it, but you have to respect them. I do. I mean, they went all in. Even Jesus says, if you're hot, I'll receive you. I'd rather you be cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out, man. Go all in. If you're hot for God, yes, come on in. If you're cold for God, we'll minister to you. If you're lukewarm, we don't know what to do with you. We don't know what to do with you. And I don't know about you guys. I don't have time for that. If people are far from God, I'm called to minister to them. If people are close to God and want more of God, then I'm called to lead them there. Wishy-washy folks, lukewarm people, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know. Make a decision. Baal did nothing, answered with nothing, was nothing. And you know what going all in left them, the prophets of Baal? It left them tired. It left them bleeding. And it's about to leave them dead. They're tired and they're hurt and they're about to be dead. And that's where going all in for the world will get you. It's tired and hurt and dead. And then Elijah comes up. And he says, my turn. And he didn't call them to the top of Mount Carmel by accident. The Bible says that he rebuilt the altar of God that was originally there. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it said that he took 12 stones and he began to build an altar with 12 stones. And he put 12 stones out there. You know why he put 12 stones out there? Because he had to remind the people of Israel who they were. One stone for each of the tribes of Israel. One stone for Asher and one for Naphtali. One for Dan and one for Benjamin and one for Judah. Can somebody say amen? And he built this altar of 12 stones around here. Looking at them, knowing that they knew the significance of the 12 stones. Because he's trying to remind the people of Israel who they are. And so, church, I want to remind you who you are today. You are the children of the living God. You are the sons and daughters of a king. You are forgiven. You are set apart. You've been set free. His love has been lavished on you that he would call you his children. You are the bride of Christ, washed pure by his blood. Man, you are a different sort. You are the kingdom of the living God. You are a precious, precious child that he knew before you were ever formed in your mother's womb that he has great plans for, that he loves and cherishes and adores. Man, you are the love of God made flesh. And if anybody ever calls you anything less than that, then they're a liar. They're a liar, and don't you receive that, because you, if you've been saved by grace, you belong to the living God, and that's who you are today. That's who you are. I just want to remind you who you are. And then he tells them about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one that brought them out of slavery in Egypt. You know why? Because he needed to remind them who God is. Maybe I need to remind you who God is today. The Lord of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Man, the God that created you, that breathed the breath of life into you and made you a living soul. Man, the God that created the wind and the moon and the stars. The God that did lead them out of Egypt and provided manna for them in the wilderness. The God that sets you free. The God that loved you enough that he was willing to send his only begotten son to suffer and die for you because he loved you that much. Man, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. He's the Redeemer, the Restorer, the Reconciler. He is the righteous judge, man, and he is the salvation that is going to come and split open the eastern sky and take us home one day. Can you give him praise for that at the Way Church this morning? So now that he's reminded them who God is and who they are, he's going to give them another opportunity to respond. So he lays his sacrifice on the altar, and then he asks them for something odd. He says, now I want you to take 4 jars of water, and I want you to pour them on the sacrifice. And so they take this water and they pour it on the sacrifice. And he says, do it again. And so they fill up 4 jars of water and they pour it on the sacrifice again. And he says, do it a third time. And so they take the 4 jars of water and fill them up a third time and pour it all over the sacrifice. How many jars is that? 12 jars, one for each of the tribes of Israel, one for each of the disciples. Means it includes us all. He pours water on this altar that he's going to try to have God burn. Man, because God likes to be put at a disadvantage. God loves to be put at a disadvantage just so he can show you exactly who he is. But man, here's the beautiful part. Where did the water come from? We're talking about being at the top of a mountain. There's no streams up there. There's no puddles up there. It hasn't rained in 3.5 years. Where did the water come from? It had to come from the people. It had to be the water that they brought with them to drink as they journeyed into the desert to this mountain. It's the only place that it could have come from. I asked you earlier, what was their most precious resource? And Elijah's asking them for what means the most to them. Give me your most precious resource. So I can pour it out. Not so we can drink it. Not so we can bathe in it. Give me what's most precious to you so I can pour it out. And they did. Do you hear me? They did. They brought it. They brought what was most dear to them to the altar. They brought their sacrifice to the altar. They brought what they were relying on them, what they were relying on to bring them life, instead of consuming it for themselves. They brought it to the altar of the living God. And they poured it out. They poured it out. And man, I want to tell you today that the heart of Israel was not restored when fire fell from heaven. Man, the heart of Israel was restored when they poured that water out on the altar. The heart of Israel was restored when they brought everything that meant anything to them and decided to go all in for the glory of God, to give him the opportunity to go all out in their lives. The same is true for you here and now. The miracle that happens in the natural starts in here. The song that we sang says, I'll see it when I believe it. Man, it's awesome to see healings and deliverances and all that kind of stuff, but the miracle starts in here. The miracle starts with faith. The miracle starts when we're willing to pour our water out at the altar. Man, the scripture says this. It says, Elijah said to the people, come near me. Then he prepared the Lord's altar that had been torn down with 12 stones according to the number of tribes. And he said, Israel will be your name. And he built the altar with the stones of the Lord. And then at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, the prophet Elijah said, Lord, the God of Isaac and Abraham and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and I'm your servant. In other words, I'm going all in. Do you understand if nothing happens here that they're going to kill him? He's dead. He's going all in. And then he says, verse 37, answer me, Lord. Answer me so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. Not that you will turn their hearts back if you work this miracle. Let them know that you have turned their hearts back. Let them know by the pouring out of this water, by the going all in with everything that they have, that their hearts have been turned back to you. Wait, church, let's turn our hearts back to God. Let's turn our hearts back to God. Let's abandon the things of the world. Man, let's turn our back on lust and money and distractions and everything that the world promises. Man, let's turn our back on that stuff and let's turn our hearts back to God and watch what he does. Then the Lord's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Can you say amen? Amen. He didn't just burn up the offering. He burned up the altar. He burned up the water. He even burned up the stones that were around it. You know why? Because my God is an all-consuming fire. And if you'll go all in for him, he'll go all out for you. Meaning that he will go above and beyond anything that you ever dreamed of, anything that you ever asked for. But the thing that has to happen is that your will has to line up with his will. That means that we have to go all in for him and not ask him to go all in for us. Does that make sense? We got to go all in for him so he'll go all out for us. And then Elijah says, seize the prophets of Baal and don't let any of them escape. And they seized them and they slaughtered them there. I told you, they went all in for the wrong thing. They ended up tired, they ended up hurt, and now they ended up dead. And then Elijah says this to the king, go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of a rainstorm. Way Church, I have heard the sound of a rainstorm coming. Maybe you're in a dry place in your life right now. Maybe God has felt distant from you for a while. Maybe your relationship with Him has dried up. Maybe your relationship with your spouse has dried up. Maybe your relationship with your kids has dried up. Maybe you feel like the reservoir of living water inside you has dried up. But wait, Church, I hear a rainstorm on the horizons. I hear miracles and I hear blessings and I hear the power of God's love starting to rain down upon people, even just like us. Because I know that there's folks here that are going all in for the living God. All in for the living God, not holding anything back, man. And that's when the miracles start to happen. That's when the miracles start to happen. Come on, guys. That's when the miracles start to happen. I'm asking you unashamedly to go all in for God. But actually, God went all out for us before we even ever had the opportunity. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He poured out His blood for us and did everything. He went all in Christ. He went all out at the cross so that it doesn't matter what you've done. And it doesn't matter what's been done to you. All that matters is who He is. He went all in so that we could come out of our slavery, so that we could come out of our sin, so that we could come out of our chains and out of our addictions and out of our guilt and shame and out of our pain and out of our torment and ultimately out of our condemnation. He went all in for you. He went all in for you.